Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Danny Kelly and you're listening to TalkSport Daily, where we get you up to date with all things sport and relive our favourite TalkSport moments from the weekend. On today's show, you'll hear Simon Jordan's take on all the VAR drama of the weekend, the best of the Ian Culverhouse game with Max Rushton and Barry Glendening, and we'll be heading over to the Sports Bar Weekender. But first, the take of Chris Awelamo, Tom Rennie and myself discussing Manchester United's thumping 4-0 win over Chelsea at Old Trafford.
The performance today, he grew into the match.
Rashford, he shoots and scores,
and getting the goal, of course, that changed the whole United performance. I think the second goal, fantastic run, great ball in from Pogba outside, but the touch and the finish, it was so composed, and he's ready, 100% ready.
I'm not convinced. Not convinced that he's a centre forward. I love his pace, and I mean clearly he has a load of great things going on for him. We'll see how the season unfolds, because today, let's be honest, everything in a game that was very close for a long time that could go right for Manchester United went right. By which I mean, think about Daniel James, who might also be a hero here.
Yeah.
He made an absolute sow's ear. He made a pig's bunion, whatever the phrase is now, out of the first chance.
I have never heard pig's bunion, but no, I love it.
You know, I'm moving forward with that. Yeah, I'm going to copyright that. There's so much else here on the programme. It was an air shot for his first thing. But by that time, Chelsea had so given up the ghost, they just let him have another go, and he scored with it. It's just one of those days for Manchester United and their players.
I'm really surprised, Danny, that you think that Rashford isn't ready. And I'll put it back to the likes of Harry Kane.
Mm-hmm.
When Soldado's having an average season, was Harry Kane ready for that?
Well, actually, the thing that kept Harry out of the team when he was suddenly ready was Adebayo. I remember putting on Twitter a picture of a man facing into the corner of a room with a massive dunce's hat, and I said, "This is Pochettino." Every one of us could see from the League Cup games and the Europa League games that Harry Kane was a mile better already than Adebayo. I suspect that Adebayo's gigantic wage packet may have had something to do with his continued selection, but Harry was ready. No, Rashford is already a very fine player. I'm not sure he's a centre forward, that's all.
Yeah.
And it's very hard, isn't it? Lukaku's problem was that he's no good, particularly when he's back to the goal. He's not good at joining up. Marcus, his pace kills teams going forward. Are they complete centre-forwards of the kind that a club of Manchester United's stature would normally have or require? I'm not sure that's the case. But he has plenty of time to prove me wrong, because I'm thinking back to Thierry Henry. There were moments when I thought, is this really real? He's now a central striker. About 1,000 goals later and 85 defeats of Tottenham. I thought, he's doing it now. Now to Simon Jordan's final word, where the former Crystal Palace chairman talks about VAR, and in particular, the controversial game at the London Stadium where champions Manchester City smashed West Ham 5-0 on Saturday, live on Talk Sport.
The fact is that I actually think the decisions that VAR took and intervened with were the right decisions. I know there was some ideals that potentially the offside goal that was given was something.
Gabriel Jesus's goal,
was something that was debatable. But the whole concept of VAR is to evolve the game. We are always, Dan, going to have a teething problem. We are always going to have a situation where the Premier League has sat back for a year and waited and tried to learn, because we believe, and I think rightly so, and I think you probably do as well, that there's something unique about the nature of our domestic football. I know we're becoming more homogenised in terms of the fact that the football's becoming sanitised. There's not a lot of tackling going on.
Oh, but there's still many, many things about the English game, particularly the Premier League game,
the pace,
that are completely different from other leagues. And I mean, I saw Neil Swarbrick, who is one of the referees charged with bringing this thing in, on Sky at the, before the weekend started, and I'm going to have to say these words. I have to swallow something first, hard and jagged. He was really impressive. And if the referees and the people in, we call it the VAR truck, but they're all down in one building in London, if they are as good as their word, then there shouldn't be a problem or too many problems. His number one concern seemed to be not to take away the pace of the English game, not to be having huge, long interjections where it's going back and forth between referees and screens. In fact, he said if the referee has to go over to the screen, they've almost failed the system.
Absolutely right. And I think that's absolutely right. And I think that, you know, that the criticism last year was that we sat back and let the other leagues, you know, take this initiative. I actually think that was probably quite sensible.
Smart.
Because, you know, we're looking back, we can learn other people's, not so much expense, but we can learn other people's experience. And we are taking this technology, embracing it into a rather unique set of football that we play in this country. And I anticipate that VAR, once we get past the narrative of people's dissenting perspective, that people start, doesn't matter what VAR does, there'll be certain segments of the media and certain segments of the football fraternity that sit there and go, I don't care if it gets 99.9% of these decisions right, I'm still not having it.
And of course, there are two things I want to say about that. One, yes, they learned from other leagues, but critically, the Women's World Cup, which made such an impact around the world, but the use of VAR on that was terrible. It was intrusive, and it actually dictated games. Now, maybe the quality of
the officiating, the refereeing was poor.
I agree with that. And so what they had to do, we cannot have whole matches dominated by conversations between anonymous people in television studios and the referees. And they learned very quickly from that. And secondly, if you want to see how the thing can work properly, I know it's a different sport, the Ashes is the very apex of professional cricket in the world, and we saw in that first Ashes test, was it 12 or 13 decisions by two of the world's leading umpires overturned because they were wrong. Simply as simple as that. And it affected the game, but the players, you can see it on the screen, the fans can see it on the screen. Oh, that wasn't out. Oh, that was out. End of conversation. Absolutely. End of story.
I mean, we're talking about the world's biggest game, and we're talking about the introduction of tech and the need for it. And I've never been of the mindset. I remember writing articles in 2005 about Sepp Blatter resisting the goal line technology and the fact that there was a quaint mentality that English or football has, which is jumpers for goalposts. This is the world's biggest game, and I don't think it's funny or amusing or in any way justifiable that decisions are made that are wrong. And with the advent of the TV companies and the 24-hour, 360-degree, 7-day-a-week scrutiny of every single decision...
Slow-mo as well, of course.
You know, it puts the refereeing fraternity under inordinate amount of pressure. So I think once we get past the preconceived notions about VAR, we're going to be into an area where it really, really enhances the game.
Away from the football drama, here's the Ian Culverhouse game with Max Rushton and Barry Glendenning on yesterday's warm-up.
A new season, new dreams, Barry, for Culverhouse. How are you feeling?
Underprepared, undercooked.
Okay.
I've summered well.
The weight test was not kind to you, has it?
Well, I've reset that from the start of the Premier League season to the end. The goal is to lose 3 stone.
What, by the end of the Premier League season?
Yes.
Okay, probably have to train with Burnley, I would suggest, if you want to do that.
I may have to do that, but in terms of Culverhouse, I suspect you were on holidays, you were probably getting up early in the morning, having a few practice games with the future former Mr. Rushton. I haven't given Culverhouse a second thought.
Well, let's see.
Over the summer.
Who knows? Let's play. Darren Barnard.
Phil Parkin. Oh God, I've got... What have I done?
Ian Culverhouse, I mean... Barry.
Oh.
Barry, you came here at the start of the show. You said you weren't worried about the other warm-up that I host. And straight out of the blocks, you Phil Parkin. I mean...
I meant to John Parkin, didn't I?
You meant to John Parkin. And even still, I'm not sure that would go.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so many mistakes. So many mistakes in two words. All the good work that we've done in 1 hour. It's been a pretty good hour.
I think I know what's happened.
What's happened is you've basically brought the... Not just Culverhouse, you've brought the whole show into disrepute. And I don't want to say I don't want to work with you anymore, but that is a bitter pill for me to swallow. People don't want one-sided games of Culverhouse.
If
right?
I
that is
just...
the, No. That people, what is really important is that it is competitive. What we can't have is someone just turning up and rolling someone over without even having to try. That is one of the major problems with Culverhouse at the moment. If people are really worried about it. Okay, maybe I've got much more resources than you have, but even still, you've got to be able to put up a fight. And for you not to be able to do that, it does mean that in some ways the game has gone. And we, for all fans of Culverhouse, it doesn't matter if you support you or me or someone else, that is a huge problem at the absolute elite end of Culverhouse.
Well, if you just let me explain what happened.
Yeah.
I had just read a little article about Phil Parkinson, Bolton boss, heroically pleading with Lawrence Pessini to get out of the beleaguered League One club.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to start with John Parkin,
mm-hmm.
but I got a little confused mm-hmm. and ended up saying Phil Parkin.
But the real key of Culverhouse is when you cross that white line, you've got to forget about everything else that's
yes,
going on
I appreciate
in your life.
That.
That's the whole point. It's a release. It's escape for you and me and everyone.
Well, I made a mistake. All I can do is apologise unconditionally. Mm. Not to those who were offended by my Phil Parkin, to everyone.
Yeah.
I've let myself down, I've let you down, I've let Talksport down, I've let my family down. I'm sorry.
Is there any coming back for Barry Glendening?
Now let's head over to the Sports Bar Weekender with Michael Kern and Craig Mitch.
We know the top six are the top six and it's always going to be difficult, but when I looked at the game overall, I thought Newcastle made a good account for themselves, especially considering the conditions and everything that was surrounding the club off the pitch. It wasn't a bad performance.
No, it wasn't. I thought their intensity was good. I thought the way they conducted themselves in the game was good. There was some good debutants there. Joel Linton, I thought, did quite well today. There was quite a funny moment in the game, which I thought was quite fun, when Williams come on. He didn't quite get the instruction of you need to go out to the wing and bring Matt Ritchie into the middle. And he had this kind of like 60-second, two-minute spell of just like bombing around the middle of the park. And Steve Bruce is like, what are you doing, fella?
Get back.
You're on the wing. Get back out there. But look, no, I thought Newcastle had a good account of themselves today. I thought their intensity was good. And I think if they can continue that through the season, I think they'll definitely pick up the points. And you obviously mentioned the fact of the whole boycott. I think they're only about 4,000 short. So there was still an appetite to kind of get behind this team. And obviously Matt Ritchie in the week made comments supporting Mike Ashley. And actually he got a very good reception from the fans today, which I thought was quite interesting. But
yeah,
look, at the end of the day, you're in the situation, aren't you? And I thought the actual game was a bit of a glimmer of light for the Newcastle fans that have obviously, you know, having some difficulties up there at the moment with their beliefs on how the club's being run and the way they're seeing things. So I think, you know, some real positives for them to take away today.
Definitely some positives for them to take away. When we look at Arsenal, I mean, favourites for the game, naturally. When you saw the starting lineup, you was looking at him thinking, okay, this is interesting. A lot of young players out there, the likes of Reece Nelson, Joe Willock. Furthest thing probably from their starting 11 that will go forward. Obviously, they've made signings as well. Introduced Pepe in the second half, Ceballos. They looked good in spells, definitely. I mean, they were sharp. They were cutting through. Aubameyang, fantastic finish. I mean, he's definitely going to be a shoo-in for the Golden Boot again this season, isn't he?
Yeah, no, I think he took his goal well. His movement off the ball was great. I think Arsenal did all right. They didn't blow me away today, like you said. But then again, you've got those players to come in. David Luiz is on the bench. Tierney will be back after his hernia up soon. But I thought, you know, the youngsters that are in Willock, I thought did very well before
positive.
He came off.
Going forward a lot.
Yeah.
Xhaka and Guendouzi in the middle were actually really good in the middle apart for me, really controlling the game. And I feel like Arsenal, once they really do hit their stride and have that front three going, whether he decides to play Lacazette, Aubameyang and Pepe, they're going to be dangerous for any side.
No, I think they are. And if we look at the transfer window just gone, I think it's fair to say Arsenal, I think, did the best business out of all the Premier League clubs when you look at what they've done, what they've acquired.
100%.
And it takes time to bed in, right? It doesn't just happen overnight. It does take that little bit of time to bed in. But look, Arsenal weren't overly convincing today, but they got the points and they'll obviously be happy with 3 points to kickstart the season.
Manchester United, though, they look strong. We're all making all of these judgments off just one weekend of football. But I definitely wouldn't count Arsenal out. We know the Europa League can be a distraction. And, you know, they fell just short last year in the final against Chelsea. So they're definitely going to want to go for it this year. But equally, so will Manchester United. We heard Jose Mourinho earlier on Sky Sports actually talking about the fact that Manchester United, when you look at their objectives for this season, winning the Europa League has to be one of them. And I think for Unai Emery, someone that's won it many times and has become almost a specialist in winning that competition, bar the final last season, that's definitely going to be something on his radar as well. But will that prove a distraction for their domestic campaign, in your opinion, Michael?
Do you know what? It's always tough, isn't it? I always find it a weird discussion when you say, oh, Thursday night football, and obviously the travelling is a little bit further, it always seems, in the Europa League as well. And, you know, you're then playing on the Sunday and it's a bit of catch-up stuff. But look, at the end of the day, they're professional athletes, and I think they'll go in with the right mindset. And will it be a distraction? I don't know. I think this side's a lot stronger than it was last year.
Yeah.
And I just think, kind of, you know, we can always try and use the Europa League excuse. But I think actually the quality that they've purchased, I think once they're all gelled in together, I don't think it will need to be used as an excuse. I actually genuinely think they've got a good shot.
You've been listening to the TalkSport Daily. Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss your daily dose of TalkSport. Don't forget, Saturdays are game day on TalkSport as we bring exclusive, live and in-depth commentary. So make sure you tune in every weekend to keep up to date on all the action from the league. See you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.